We're going to turn our attention this morning, if you brought your Bibles, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I know that the sugar from the donuts is probably about wearing off by now. We'll try to keep your attention today. 1 Corinthians 15, looking at verses 1 through 8 and then 12 through 22. The Apostle Paul, writing these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain." Then Paul writes, "For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." In other words, some have passed away. "Then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." And then Paul expounds on that in the next few verses. I'm jumping down to verse 12. "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." But here comes the good news. Verse 20. But, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the awesome privilege that you have given me to teach and to preach and proclaim your word today. And Father, I pray that you would touch every person in this place this morning, God, through the teaching and the preaching of your word. God, we honor you this morning. We are here to glorify you. And God, we thank you that you are going to reveal to us today your heart. I ask that your word comes forth now with boldness, the boldness of the Holy Spirit, with power, with unction, with authority. God, we pray that you'd give all of us ears to hear what Holy Spirit would have us hear today, eyes to see, hearts to comprehend and understand and apply what you are sharing with us today. And Father, I acknowledge this morning that I can say or do nothing without the help of the Holy Spirit. And so, Spirit of the Lord, anoint these lips of mine, anoint my mind, God, to proclaim the very word of the Lord today, the very oracles of God. God, let not one person leave this place the way they came in, but God, change us from faith to faith, from glory to glory, by the Spirit of the living God. And Father, we ask these things now in the name of our resurrected and living Savior, Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. How many of you have seen the cartoon of two Roman soldiers that were standing by the empty tomb, and the stone was rolled away, and one of the soldiers was looking a little worried because they had failed in their responsibility to guard the tomb. But the other one shrugged his shoulders and says, don't worry about it. 100 years from now, no one will remember. How many know they got it wrong? All right. Another story is told of three fools who died and are at the pearly gates of heaven. And St. Peter tells them that they can enter the gates if they can answer one simple question. And so St. Peter asked the first fool, "What is Easter?" And he replies, well, that's easy. It's the holiday in November when everyone gets together, eats turkey, and are thankful. Wrong, replies St. Peter, and proceeds to ask the second fool the same question. What is Easter? And the second fool replies, well, Easter is the holiday in December. We put up a nice tree, exchange presents, and celebrate the birth of Jesus. St. Peter looks at the second fool, shakes his head in disgust, tells her that she's wrong, and then peers over his glasses at the third fool and asks, what is Easter? And the third fool smiles confidently and looks at St. Peter in the eyes. I know what Easter is, he said. Oh, says St. Peter in disbelief. And the third fool says, yeah, Easter is that Christian holiday that coincides with the Jewish Passover celebration. And Jesus and his disciples were eating at the Last Supper, and Jesus was later deceived and turned over to the Romans by one of his disciples. Well, the Romans took him, he said, and they took him to be crucified, and he was stabbed in the side. He was made to wear a crown of thorns. He was hung on a cross with nails through his hands and his feet. He was buried then in a nearby cave, which was sealed off by a large boulder. And St. Peter begins to smile broadly with delight. And then the third fool continued, and every year the boulder is moved aside so that Jesus can come out, and if he sees his shadow, there'll be six more weeks of winter. How many know that they got it wrong too? Well, this morning we want to get it right. And so let me say by way of introduction, when you think about Easter, when you think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, two things become obvious. Number one, if Christ has not risen from the dead, then what we are doing here today is simply a waste of our time. Forget the donuts, forget the juice, forget the coffee. Why even come? If he has risen from the dead, though, secondly, then what we do here today has enormous implications in our life now as well as for the future and eternity. See, I personally believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the single most important event in human history. Matter of fact, there was a poll this past week I heard on the radio that 70% of registered voters in America, 70% say they believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. The good news, bad news thing. The good news, that's a pretty large number. The bad news is that if 70% were living it, this nation would not be in the condition it's in. Just a personal observation. Now, the resurrection is the greatest thing that ever happened, but you say, well, so what? You know, what's the big deal? And that's my sermon title this morning, So What? So what's the big deal? What makes Easter so great? Why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ important to you and me? You know, the words so what is an interjection, an expression used to indicate that a matter is unworthy of further discussion. In other words, big deal. Whatever. Who cares? That don't impress me much. What does it matter? And we'll use these words in a sentence such as, I lost my phone. So what? I'll just buy a new one. And so we use that expression. Well, when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it does matter. And here's why. The first so what of Easter, of why Easter matters, of why it's worthy of our consideration and our discussion today, is number one, the resurrection of Jesus Christ declares Jesus to be the Son of God. Jesus Christ himself is God. He is deity. If that's not in your theology, then change your theology and become biblical in your theology, because Jesus is God. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord. So once again, the resurrection of Jesus Christ proved once and for all that Jesus is who he said he was. He is really the divine Son of God. Jesus Christ is deity. He was a man, but he was also God. Not just a prophet, not just a teacher, not just a good person. On several occasions, he claimed to be the Son of God. He forgave sin. He even claimed to have power to lay down his life and take it up again, this perhaps being the boldest of his claims. But it was also the fulfillment of this claim that authenticated the truth of all teachings, of all his teachings, and declared Jesus Christ once and for all, yes, he is the Son of God. That's why Easter matters. Easter matters and is worthy of our consideration, because ultimately it declares Christ to be God. In his book, Great Doctrines of the Bible, William Evan writes regarding the deity of Christ that divine names are given to him. He is called God. He is called the Son of God. He is called the Lord. Other names are ascribed to him as the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Divine worship is ascribed to Jesus Christ. He possesses the qualities and properties of deity in his preexistence. You recall John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Even Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, all right? He is the self-existent one, the life-giving power. He is immutable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. Divine offices are ascribed to him. He is the creator, John 1:3. All things were made by him. He is the upholder of all things. He has the right to forgive sins. The raising of the bodies of men is ascribed to him. He is the judge of all men. Friends, divine attributes are even possessed by him. He is omnipotent, he is omniscient, and he is omnipresent. Omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent. He is present everywhere at all times. Friends, what I'm trying to say is Jesus was not merely God-like. He was and is God. He is who he said he was. Therefore, his resurrection from the dead proclaimed that once and for all to remove any doubt that mankind would have. Amen. The second so what then of Easter and why it matters and why the resurrection is important is number two, the resurrection of Jesus Christ provides for us the forgiveness of our sins. This is where, to me, it gets gooder and gooder, right? Better and better. Because he is God, Jesus being without sin could provide the price that was required for our sin. 1 Corinthians, going back to verse 17 of chapter 15, and if Christ has not been raised, you are still in your sins. What an awful assumption. And if Christ has not been raised, we're still in our sins. Now, how can I know that the death of Jesus Christ took care of my sin, which separates my soul from God? The answer, the resurrection. The resurrection. You see, the only thing that will keep us out of heaven is our sins. And friends, if the grave isn't empty, I'm still in my sins. My preaching is useless, Paul says. Romans 4:25, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins, but then it goes on, and was raised to life for our justification. He was raised to life for our justification, just as if we've never sinned. Yes, he died for our sins, but Jesus was resurrected from death and the grave to justify us before a holy and a righteous God. I don't know about you, but I am glad today that God's mercy triumphs over judgment. Jesus satisfied the judgment of God for my sin, and not just for my sin, for your sin as well. Although he is just, although he is righteous, he came to pardon. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so the purpose for which Jesus Christ came into the world was to bring salvation, was to redeem, to purchase, to buy back for himself a people that would then belong to God, love God, and serve God. Hebrews 9:28, it says that Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. What am I saying? I'm simply saying Jesus Christ is coming back a second time. Jesus Christ is coming again, and he's coming for his bride, a bride who has made herself ready. For 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on a tree. 1 John 2:2, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for also the sins of the whole world. Revelation 1, verse 5, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. And then Romans 14, 7 through 9, for none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Verse 9, for this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the living and the dead. See, he's after lordship in your life. He's after his lordship in my life. He wants you and I to, as he said, if anyone come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He wants you and I to deny ourselves, to take up the cross. And the cross means one thing. Talked about this last Sunday. The cross means death. Death to self, death to our will, death to our agenda, and to then follow him. If we're going to follow him, that means he's leading, we're not. He's in charge, we aren't. And so he wants to be the Lord, that he might be the Lord of both the living and the dead. And so Jesus' purpose in coming was to save us, not to condemn us. John chapter 3. I like to say it this way, God is for you, not against you. The cross is a plus sign, not a minus sign. You see, Jesus did for us what we could never do for ourselves. Yes, we all deserve the judgment of God because we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus willingly suffered the justice and the judgment that we deserve. And Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Not a way, but the only way. He is the only way to God. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. You see, here's the deal. Buddha did not die for you and come back to life. Muhammad did not die for you. Confucius did not die for you. Joseph Smith did not die for you. Only Jesus paid the price that was necessary for your sin and for my sin and for the sin of the world. You say, yeah, but Pastor, so what? Well, to this I say, here's what. The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross perfectly met the requirement of a holy and a just God who will bring every sin into judgment. Therefore, Easter matters. The resurrection matters. Why? Because it provides for you and me, if we'll call out to him, if we'll repent of our sin, we can say, Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I repent of my sin. God, I turn my life over to you. The forgiveness of sin. As the old Easter hymn says it so well, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. It says, and then it says, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. See, here's the thing. Jesus' physical resurrection from the dead is not theology. It's history. But it's more than history. The resurrection is a person. For Jesus himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. We are not saved by Christ's death. We are saved by his life. And so, yes, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is worth our time to talk about and to celebrate. Why? Because it proclaims that he is deity, he is the Son of God, and it proclaims and provides the forgiveness for our sins. If I was to stop right there, I'd say hallelujah. Let's have a hallelujah dance and worship and celebrate. But I have one more so what to talk about this morning, and that is this. Number three, the resurrection is important. The third so what is because it gives us an assurance of where we will spend eternity. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. George Bernard Shaw wrote this, the statistics on death are quite impressive. One out of every one people die. Now, by some strange act of self-deception, we convince ourselves that death will happen to everybody else, but not to us. How naive, because death is a fact of life. It is perennial. During World War II, C.S. Lewis pointed out that war does not increase death. Death is total in every generation. In other words, it takes every one of us, which is in line with what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. He says, for death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Daniel Webster was asked, what is your greatest thought? Daniel Webster, you have a colossal mind. You have an awesome intellect. What is your greatest thought, Daniel Webster? And he answered, my greatest thought is my personal accountability to God. My personal accountability to God. See, the point I'm trying to make this morning is this. Because death is the destiny of every man, we must be prepared. We must be ready. Dr. Billy Graham in his book, Facing Death and the Life After, said, if we ever want to make the most out of this life, we need to face the fact that this life is in the process of ending. And then he wrote, my father-in-law, Dr. L. Nelson Bell, wrote many years ago, only those who are prepared to die are really prepared to live. The uncertainty is not the dying, it's the preparation. Wow. My question to you this morning is simply this. Are you prepared for death? I mean, do you have the assurance of where you'll spend eternity? Because as I've said before, I said it last week too, not everyone who dies goes to heaven. Not every pastor who dies goes to heaven. Not everybody that's part of a church or even attends church or is in the choir or whatever. I'm just saying we have to have a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ, because everyone here today will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. That's the only two choices we have. And so are you ready? Are you ready to give an account for your life? Revelation 20:15 says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he'll be thrown into the lake of fire. Not Brian's words, the words of Holy Scripture. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Are you ready to face the scrutiny of God's books? In making your plans for today or tonight, maybe next week, maybe next month, or next year, or way out when you retire. All right. What are you making plans for as far as when you breathe your last breath and you enter eternity? Are you prepared for that? I mean, Job asked one of the most important questions ever asked by mankind, and that is Job 14:14. If a man dies, shall he live again? If a man dies, shall he live again? And the centuries rolled by without an authentic answer to that question. It remained for Jesus Christ himself to declare, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then Jesus asked this, do you believe this? Jesus also said, because I live, ye shall live also. Friends, one of the primary purposes of the last book in our Bibles, the book of Revelation, is to reveal the ultimate triumph and victory of Jesus Christ over all the forces and powers that are in opposition to God. And one of these is death. And here the risen Christ appeared to John. John, who was one of his beloved apostles. And here's Christ in transfigured glory as John was on that devil's island called Patmos. And Jesus declared, "I am the living one." Then he says, "I was dead," past tense, "I was dead, and behold," he says, "I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Friends, don't kid yourself. That old bachelor in Rome does not hold the keys. Jesus Christ holds the keys. He is the resurrection and the life. And hallelujah, when we put our faith, when we put our trust in Him, we can have the assurance that when we die, we can be with Him for all eternity. That's the hope of the follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. See, Easter matters because of the fact of the resurrection of Christ. And it proclaims victory over death in the grave. And thus gives those of us who trust Christ and Christ alone for our salvation a blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. You see, many people have insurance policies. But do you have an assurance policy? Are you assured today of where you'll spend eternity? See, that's why those who have prepared themselves to face God one day by being born again can look at death without fear. Why? Because they know that death is not the end. They know that their Redeemer lives, and in the end they shall see God. They know, according to 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. Peter says he was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. They know that Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave, and that He today is our living Savior. That's why they placed Him in a borrowed tomb. He wasn't going to stay there. Hallelujah. They are assured of Psalm 23 verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." See, each and every one of us have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death someday. David, who wrote this, put this in the first person. "Even though I," he says, "even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Think about David's life for a moment. Tragedy dogged David's steps. David, man of God, man of God's own heart, witnessed a lot of death, including his newborn baby. Death was never far away from this great man. And nevertheless, he always seemed to dodge the bullet himself. And so David lived 20, 30, 40, 50 plus years. And eventually, David reached an age where then death did its work. And in 1 Kings chapter 2, 10 and 11, we see these words, Then David rested with his fathers. And David, he was buried in the city of David. He had reigned 40 years over Israel. You see, David died and ultimately fulfilled what he wrote in the 23rd Psalm. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Another thing the 23rd Psalm tells me is that death is not a destination. It's a passageway. It's a thoroughfare. In other words, one doesn't go there to stay. It's a doorway, a valley through which we walk. The valley may be scary looking at it from this side, but we don't stay in the valley. We walk through. We go on to the other side. The other side is heaven. Hallelujah. And the book of Revelation gives us a glimpse of life on the other side of the valley. You see, on this side, we have sickness and we have pain, way too much of it. But the other side supplies us with perfect bodies. Glory to God. No more sickness. sickness, no more pain, no more surgeries. Can you say amen? I mean, this side has tears. We have hurt. We have heartache. But the other side, He will wipe every tear from our eyes and there'll be no more crying. This side, we see sin and we see violence. But the other side has nothing that hurts us or is evil. Matter of fact, the Bible says everything will be made new. This side, we have death and funerals. The other side has a sign, so to speak, hanging on the pearly gates that says, no death, mourning, or funerals allowed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the hope of those who trust in Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sin. You see, the valley may look mean and awful from this side, but it's truly glorious heaven on the other side, the side we can't see. Friends, what are we living for? This side or the other side? We are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. All possible because the resurrection matters. David also wrote that death is but a shadow, the shadow of death. Now, how many of you have heard of someone who was afraid of their own shadow? To be afraid of one's shadow, we say, well, they must be cowardly. Why? Because everyone knows that a shadow can't hurt anyone. Now, a dog may bite you, but its shadow can't. A bear can kill a person. Kill a person last summer up in Prescott. Guy sitting on his porch, building a cabin, early morning, hauled him off, mauled him to death. A bear can kill a person, but its shadow can't even hurt a flea. A skunk can really stink up the place. But we all know that a skunk's shadow has no smell at all. Now, I would contest that one because... but we get the idea. In John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me. The word believes there is not some mental assent. Well, I believe in God, because that's 90-some percent of Americans. We say we believe in God. Well, even the demons believe, the Bible says. And so the word believe biblically is to surrender to, is to submit to, is to adhere to the word of the Lord and the word of God, as well as to live our lives according to the word of God. But he who believes in me, Jesus said, will live even though he dies. You see, Jesus entered death and destroyed the power of the devil in order that he might today deliver you and I from the fear of death and dying. In Romans 5:10 it says, for if when we were God's enemies, think about this, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, check that out, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Through his life. Because of the resurrection. That's what's so great about Easter. That's why I celebrate his resurrection. That's why this is a matter worthy of further discussion. Because, friends, death is not all there is. You see, Jesus didn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone. When we die, it is only the beginning of an eternity, either in heaven or in hell. There is so much more, an eternity full of more. See, man was created to live and live forever. I like to say it this way, and this is a quote from Leonard Ravenhill. He said, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. And every one of us, we're dead in our sins and our trespasses. That's why, according to Jesus, we must be born again. Now, the Apostle Paul would say it this way, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. He also says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And Paul would continue on in 1 Corinthians 15, where we looked at this morning, but you jump down to verse 54. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, once again, death has been swallowed up in victory. You say, so what? That's what. All right. That's why Easter is so great. We don't need to be afraid of death and dying anymore. Why? Because Christ faced death for us. And because of His victory, we can be saved from our sin. We can be in right relationship with God. We can say, God, thank you that you have taken the sting for me. Oh, where death is your sting? As we sang, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone. See, the resurrection is the heart of the gospel because it truly changes everything. Faith in Christ's resurrection is also necessary to go to heaven. Once again, if there is no resurrection, what's the point? What's the purpose? Going back to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, Paul says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, confess with the mouth, believe in the heart that God raised from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who puts his trust in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. Amen. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, it says, will be saved. Let me challenge you this morning. Don't just celebrate the resurrection. Experience the resurrection, Jesus Christ. The resurrection and life. Experience Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, Jesus just doesn't want to be accepted or invited into your heart, but rather He is after one thing, as I alluded to earlier. He wants total surrender of your life to Himself. Because biblically, there is no believing without following. There is no salvation without surrender. There is no forgiveness without repentance. And there is no life without death, dying to self. No wonder Jesus would say, hey, you want to follow me? You must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. No life without death. And so I ask you again this morning, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you a follower of Christ? I didn't ask if you believe in Him. Are you following Him? Are you prepared for eternity? The Bible says that God has placed eternity in our hearts, and you will spend eternity, as I said, in either heaven or hell. In Revelation 20:15, if anyone's name was not written or found in the book of life, he'll be thrown into the lake of fire. So I'd say it's pretty important that we know where we're going to spend eternity. This morning, if you do not have the assurance of where you'll spend eternity, then you need to acknowledge today that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. This is where you humble yourself before God. See, God resists the proud, but He always gives grace to the humble. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible talks about how our sin separates us from God. You see, there is only one thing that will keep you out of heaven, and that is your sin. And the only sin that God can't and won't forgive is the sin you don't repent of. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so you say, Lord, I come to you this morning. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I humble myself before you. God, I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your forgiveness in my life. And then secondly, you believe and trust in Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. You see, God loves you and I too much to leave us the way we were. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place on that cross. But you must repent of your sin and ask God to forgive you. See, God will change your life if you will surrender it to Him. believe, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For there is no other name under heaven given to man which man must be saved. And then you confess your sin. Thirdly, you repent. You ask Christ to forgive you. You surrender your life to him. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. You see, the Bible was given to us. We can read this in 1 John 5:13. The very word of God was written that we might know, that we might know that we have eternal life. You can know, you can be assured of where you're going to spend eternity. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. See, in my estimation, one of the greatest so what's of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a transformed life. And I could talk today and for weeks about the theories that would refute the resurrection. I could go into all the Old Testament prophecies and even Jesus himself predicting his resurrection on numerous occasions. I could speak endlessly on the empty tomb, the shape of the linen wrappings, the multiple resurrection appearances. I mean, the 500 men at once, the Roman guards' observance of the first day of the week, the existence of the church, and on and on and on. But you ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. And he wants to live within your heart as well. And so does Jesus take up residence in your heart, in your life? He is risen. So what? No, so what will you do with the resurrected Christ? Let's stand and pray together. It's only 11:40. You can still beat the Baptist to the restaurant, so just hold with me for a few seconds. But let's pray. Let's ask God to make what I shared this morning real and truthful in our lives. So, Father, this morning I pray that as we conclude this Easter Sunday morning service, that you would come and not just challenge us, but God, change us. Change our hearts. God, help us to know you, to love you, to serve you, to live for you the way you want us to. Father, I pray for those who are standing here this morning who are not following you. They have never totally surrendered their lives to you. Maybe they believe in you, but they have yet to totally surrender their hearts to you and take up their cross and follow you. Maybe they know about you, but they don't know you. And so I pray that you would help them today to realize that you want them to know you. You want them to have a personal love relationship with you. Father, you want them to know of your forgiveness and your kindness that leads us to repentance. And God, you want them to be assured that when their time comes, and if they're prepared, they can go to heaven and not to hell. Look this way. If you need Jesus Christ in your life this morning, and you've never made a public declaration of your faith, you've never repented of your sin, then the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You're not guaranteed it tomorrow. As I like to say, tomorrow is only a day on a fool's calendar. We're not guaranteed it tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But if you need Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, and you would like this morning, on this Easter Sunday morning, the gift of eternal life, I invite you to step out from where you're standing right now and join me at the altar. I want to lead you in a prayer. The prayer doesn't save you, but belief in your heart does. And so you say, well, Pastor Brian, why do you do that? Why do you call people publicly? Well, Jesus called people publicly. And the Bible says if we're ashamed of him here, he'll be ashamed of us before his Father in heaven. You see, if we don't confess him before men, he won't confess us before his Father in heaven. And so I ask you today, do you know Jesus Christ? as your Lord and Savior? Are you prepared to go to heaven? If God's been speaking to your heart about repenting of your sin and getting right before God, then today I am asking you to step out from where you're standing and join me at the front. Make your calling and election sure. God's been speaking to you. What would prevent you walking 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 feet to an altar when you have to triple that even to get to your car today? Just holding steady for a moment. Today is the day of salvation. God's tugging at your heart. Father, today, as we conclude this service once again, we thank you. We thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you, Jesus, are who you said you were. You are God. You are deity. And as deity, you paid the price for our sins so we could experience the forgiveness of sin. And Lord, you have given those that are following you a blessed hope. Hallelujah. Thank you for the hope that is ours. Thank you for the blessed assurance that is ours. All because of the resurrection. And God, I speak blessing now upon your people, each and every family, God. I pray, God, that today would just be a day of worship, a day of celebration, a day of just honoring you. Because this is truly the most important day in human history. And we worship you because of who you are. And Lord, let us leave this place with that resurrection spirit within us, knowing that the same spirit, as I said earlier, yet that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, it's going to quicken our mortal bodies. We thank you for that today. Lord, bless your people now in your precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. The altars are open. If you would like prayer for anything and everything, whatever it might be, I'll be available to pray for you, pray with you. God bless you. Have a blessed Easter, Resurrection Sunday. God bless you.